Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is America's Great Loop Cruisers Association's weekly blog radio show. I'm Janice Cromer, and I'm the director of America's Great Loop. And Steve Cromer is also with us, who kind of helps us with technical issues and also customer service. Before we begin, I would like to thank our Admiral sponsors. We have a new sponsor this week that I'm very happy to introduce, Passagemaker Magazine. And our current sponsors besides Passagemaker are, of course, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazine, and Skipper Bob Publications. AGLCA, as we call ourselves, is an organization of people who share a sense of adventure and camaraderie of America's Great Loop. For those who aren't familiar with the term, the Great Loop, it's actually the continuous waterway that circles the eastern portion of North America. Our association was formed to help people get information about this great journey. For those wishing to learn more about the Great Loop, you can visit our website, which is www.greatloop.org. Non-members can join the association at that site, and anyone can sign up for one of our new one-day seminars that are basically designed to give you a wealth of information about the cruising lifestyle that is the Great Loop. We welcome back this week Kitty Nicolai. Kitty was on last week and told us all about the different things we need to know, terminology and what we might see on the Illinois River and the Upper Mississippi, which of course will be part of your loop. This week, Kitty is returning and she's basically going to give us a mile-by-mile description of what you will see in various places you can stop on the rivers. Kitty, we welcome you back. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Janice. It's nice being here once again.
Thanks. Last week, I believe we left off with wind dikes and dams. And again, I'd like to pick up with a brief tour of the rivers. So whenever you're ready, just get started.
Okay. I'm just going to go through some highlights and major waypoints.
Sure.
On the river system. It's just from the Illinois River 7 through the Upper Mississippi River 0 down at the Ohio confluence. When I was looking through this, the first thing I wanted to do, if I were going this way, I'd want to go out and subscribe or download, at least. You don't have to subscribe, but you may. Download the weekly notice to mariners, local notice to mariners. So I think that's a good start for everyone. I was looking at this week's local notice to mariners, and I see there's a marine event at Upper Mississippi River Mile 219 to 213, and that's right where our loopers are going. So there's other information on there that could be valuable. So I want to start actually down near Illinois River Mile 7. We talked about left descending bank and right descending bank and last week. So usually when you're giving a position, if there's some uncertainty as to where it is at a certain mile marker on a river, you would also add left descending bank, LDB, or right descending bank to that description. So at Illinois River Mile, ILR 7 on the left descending bank is Père Marquette State Park. And if you look on your chart, you'll see that there's a boat harbor marked on the charts and shown. But that harbor is shallow and the entrance is frequently silted in. And there are no services. And this has come up on the forum now and again, is whether or not that's a good harbor to stop in. Generally, it is not. There is a lodge up on the hill that people have visited, that they have a restaurant and serve lunch, but there's generally no place for a looper boat to moor. If we go downriver on the Illinois to mile 3.5, there's the Brussels Ferry. And in season, that's actually two ferries that run back and forth simultaneously, running between the left descending bank and the right descending bank. So mariners should look for those at mile 3.5 on the Illinois, and they can call any of these ferries on channel 13 or 16. And generally, pleasure craft hold up for those ferries to make their crossing.
How often do they run, Kitty? Do you know?
How often?
How often, yes.
I'm not sure, and actually, as the season progresses to fall and then to winter, all the ferry lines slow down. I think the Grafton Ferry, I believe after Labor Day, which we are already after,
uh-huh.
I believe only runs on weekends now. So,
really? Okay, thank you.
And in the Brussels Ferry, they may cut down to one ferry instead of the two simultaneous ones.
Uh-huh.
So it changes a little bit according to season and according to need of the people.
Uh-huh.
Okay, then we get down to Illinois River 0.5, actually below the one-mile marker, and that's where Grafton, that's on the left descending bank, as you would know. That's Grafton Harbor and Grafton Ferry Landing and Loading Dock Restaurant. They're all along there. And I think we have a lot of loopers in there right now waiting for river conditions on the Mississippi to improve.
I think we heard there were over 10 boats there a few days ago.
I read at one point we had 29 boats there.
Oh, my goodness.
One point. Some have left there already, but they've been others filled in behind them. So I'm not quite sure of the count, but there are many.
Mm-hmm.
There are, while we're talking about that, there are other marinas on the Missouri side up in the Dardenne Slough, and you can check your charts for that. I won't go in too much into that, but there are other marinas available right in that area. Other than Grafton.
Uh-huh. So there are alternatives.
There are alternatives if Grafton is getting full. They seem to be soaking up everything that stops by so far. If we progress downriver slightly, and it's only just a little bit down the Illinois River, you'll come to Upper Mississippi River, or the Mississippi River mile marker 217 approximately. And right there is the official confluence of the Illinois and the Mississippi. And there's a junction buoy. We call it a junction buoy, but technically it's called a preferred channel marker. And that marks the channel where it splits and tells you that actually the preferred channel is the Mississippi. So that's at mile 217.
Okay.
These miles are approximate. They may be off a digit or a tenth or two.
I'm sure that's fine.
If we progress down to UMR mile 202 on the left bank, we come to Alton Marina. And that is that's immediately before the Clark Bridge, the Alton Bridge, which is the Clark Bridge.
Uh-huh.
And both the Alton Marina and that bridge are about a mile to a mile and a half above Mel Price Lock and Dam.
Okay.
So that's the Alton Marina is a nice marina. It's a place where some of our loopers have gone before they completed Grafton Harbor. So it's worth a call to them if Grafton's becoming filled. Again, then down about a mile and a half from the Alton Marina is the Mel Price Lock and Dam. Now, right now, There is an auxiliary chamber on these last two locks. I'm not sure if they're open or closed. I read in a local notice to Mariners that Chain of Rocks, Lock and Dam 27, the auxiliary chamber is closed. So you have to check that local notice to Mariners or call the lock.
Uh-huh.
A Mel Price Lock and Dam monitors VHF channel 14, which I think most people are used to by now. But on the Mississippi River, going up and down river both ways, the locks alternate between channel 14 and channel 12. So after you get past Mel Price, your next lock and dam will be 27, Chain of Rocks, it'll be 27. And they monitor channel 12. If you were going upriver, it'd be the same way. They alternate between 12 and 14. Now you're going downriver, Chain of Rocks monitors 12. The last logical lock that isn't really on the Mississippi is on the Kaskaskia River. And once again, down there, they monitor channel 12.
Okay.
So if we lock through Mel Price Lock and Dam, and that's their call sign, not really a number, not Lock and Dam 27, for instance, they're called Mel Price.
Okay.
You call them on the radio. The reason for that, I suppose, is because Mel Price replaced the old Lock and Dam 26. You'll hear on the radio they refer to themselves, and people call them as Mel Price. Just below Mel Price and continuing south to the Missouri River confluence, there's a fleeting area and shipyards, and the channel and the river are relatively wide at this stretch. Since you're now on the other side of Mel Price, you don't have a lot of recreational boats. Above Mel Price, up to the lower Illinois, through the lower Illinois, and up to the next lock and dam, about 40 miles north, is the large recreational pool for all the St. Louis River boaters. So it gets really kind of crazy on weekends. And on holidays, on the holiday weekend. So once you get below Mel Price, you start in the industrial area again, commercial area, and you'll see that fleeting area.
Okay.
So there are some dry docks along that area, and it's best to keep it at a slow minimum wake speed, and because big boats close by can kind of rock those dry docks.
Okay.
All right. Then you get a little lower within that area that we're talking about, and you'll get to the Missouri River confluence at mile 195.2. And of course, think about it; it's going to be on the right descending bank. And a lot of people go by this confluence. It can be unnoticed. The river widens, but it's not even noticed as a confluence so much as the Illinois and Mississippi River confluence is.
Uh-huh.
So you will go by that confluence, and right in that area there's a little eddy that's always been there circling around from the currents, and it'll kind of grab at your boat. And I've talked to a lot of loopers, and they seem a little surprised at that. It's not a real problem. Just keep powering right on through it, and at least you'll know what's happening now when that eddy grabs at your boat.
You can definitely feel it, I imagine.
You can really feel it. I, of course, have a smaller boat, a 23-foot, but people in large trawlers said they really feel it. So, right there in that area, immediately following that, is the Chain of Rocks Canals, where that starts. And there's a big sign that says, Canal, all boats, with an arrow pointing left. And you really need to go left there, not right, because on the right are those chain of rocks that they speak about. It's a chain of rocks reach, and it's not really navigable. So you'll go left down the Chain of Rocks Canal at that point that comes in about 195. All right?
Is it pretty visible, Kitty, that you can see that you need to go left?
There is a big sign there. I would say there's a huge
sign. For those people that do read signs.
People have gone right. Don't go right. No, that you can't, truthfully, the arrow pointing there, at least the last time I saw the sign, the arrow for years and years is not that prominent. But there is an arrow there along with a sign that points left.
Okay, we'll look for it. I think this is, if it's okay, Kitty, we'll break for a quick commercial. It's probably a good time after we've had a chuckle.
All right, great.
Did you know that every mile of the Great Loop is covered by both the Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob? Use them to plan your Great Loop cruise and learn about the places you can visit. In the cockpit, important navigation info is always ready at your side, plus marina listings, anchorages, services, and so much more. Each Skipper Bob and Waterway Guide is updated yearly, and waterwayguide.com and skipperbob.net keep you current with navigation alerts, cruising news, fuel prices, and special deals. With the Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob at the helm, you'll always be on course. Order yours today at the AGLCA Ship Store at greatloop.org. Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob are proud sponsors at the Admiral level with AGLCA.
Thanks, Beth. Okay, Kitty, I think we're just about at Lock and Dam number 27.
Yes, well, I'm going to begin here with the entrance to the Chain of Rocks Canal, which is at 194.2, and it goes through the until you reach the actual lock and dam number 27 at mile 185.5. Within that canal, there is another fleeting area, a small one, at mile 186.4. And no wake is advised through there. You can look and see how busy they are, but there's often some little fleeter boats running around, and they're shuffling barges around down there. And that's really about 1 mile above the lock and dam. And then you'll get to Lock and Dam 27 at 185.5. Again, they monitor Channel 12. And there is an auxiliary chamber available, which at this moment is closed. But you'll have to contact the lock to find out what they want you to do.
Okay.
Both of these locks, these last two locks, are floating bollards, so people should be probably used to them by the time they get there. After you go through the lock, the canal bends to your port and joins up with the main river channel again, and you'll go by the downtown St. Louis skyline, and you'll go by the Gateway Arch. The mile marker for the Gateway Arch is about 179.6 on the right bank, right descending bank. Unfortunately, the city of St. Louis has never installed locks or services, docks or services for pleasure craft. So there's really no good way to stop there. I have heard of people anchoring, which you could do conceivably out of the channel and dinghying in to shore, but there's no good place to put your dinghy once you get to shore. So if you want to see St. Louis City and some of the things St. Louis has to offer, you'll probably have to rent a car while you're at Alton or perhaps Grafton drive there.
Do you have any idea why that is, why St. Louis has never developed their dock area?
No, that question has been asked often. There isn't a lot of pleasure craft traffic down there. Once you get through Chain of Rocks, Lock and Dam 27, it's commercial traffic starts to pick up. And there are a lot of marine events down at the in front of the Gateway Arch, fireworks shows, air shows during the 4th of July and other major marine events. And that's really the during those periods are the only time where they draw a lot of a pleasure craft, and the boaters come down and they might anchor nearby. They can't normally anchor down right in between the right in front of the arch, but they anchor off to the side and then they go back up to the recreational pool. So apparently there isn't a lot of call anyway. I think the biggest call for services would be from our looper boats, certainly. They've never taken the effort to do anything, unfortunately.
That's a shame, really.
It is, but I don't know how the great minds think there. So.
Well, I guess we'll just bypass St. Louis.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you can rent a car if you stop at Alton is the best place, probably, car, and then you can see St. Louis. Otherwise, probably not. Just below downtown St. Louis, we'll call it mile 179, and this goes on for several miles. There's a fleeting area, or many fleeting areas, and you'll see a lot of small fleet tugs or pushers performing fleeting services in that area. And connecting up with larger tow arrays, and that's when the tows can start building to 42 barges or more. Now, you don't normally see that big of a tow so close to St. Louis, but the farther you go downriver, the larger the integrated tow arrays become. There's no longer that 15 barge restriction that they have above the locks.
I mentioned that last week, yes.
Yeah. The river gets wider and there are no locks, so the tow companies just start pushing more barges. I added on my outline list another waypoint of 169.5 on the right descending bank, and that's only so our mariners can have another waypoint to look for or look at. The Jefferson Barracks and Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery VA Medical Center are high on the bluffs at that point. And that's just upriver of the I-255 bridge. There's nothing you can get to. There's a lot of bluffs in some of that area. Down to mile 160.6 on the right descending bank or right bank, the Merrimack River confluence comes in. I've been on the Merrimack a lot. It's really for smaller boats. There's a lot of snags. There is an open area up there that boaters enjoy for skiing and things, but largely it's smaller boats only and local knowledge highly suggested, so it's not a place any of our loopers normally think about stopping anyway.
The next on your journey people always go to,
158.5. Say that once again, Janice.
I was going to say mile marker 158.5 is very popular.
Oh, that's a very popular one. always talk about that at Hoppy's Marina in Kimswick. And they monitor Channel 16. And they are essentially the last services, and they don't have many services, but they have important ones like fuel. They're the last services until the Ohio River.
Can I cut in for a second, Kitty? For those members out there or non-members not realizing it, Hoppy's Marina is the home of the infamous fern. Nobody moves without Fern's instructions on the river.
That's right. And she can help you with her sage guidance of and knowledge of the river and below where you're going. So it's really suggested that you stop and refuel and talk to Fern. I know, as I was going to say, once you get past Hoppies, and you can ask Fern about this, there used to be an opportunity to give fuel with a truck that would come down to the river at Cape Girardeau or near Cape Girardeau. It's Kidd Fuel Services, KIDD or something like that. I'm not certain if that's still available. Do you know, Janice?
There's been differing opinions on the forum. It's best to basically ask Fern and see if you can Google a phone number and see if they're still in business.
Exactly. Ask Fern. And even when they were still doing that service, it had dropped down to diesel and no gas, and it was, I believe, 100-gallon minimum. But Fern will know more about that, luckily. We're glad she's there.
And talking about our sponsors, Skipper Bob and Waterway Guide, if you have any questions, just contact anyone. I don't want to give out Ted Stelly's email address, but he's so knowledgeable. He can help you, too.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, proceeding downriver to the next significant stop that our loopers may enjoy is the Kaskaskia River confluence at 117.5 on the left bank. And 1 mile up the Kaskaskia is the Kaskaskia Lock and Dam. And boaters can normally tie up on the lock wall overnight. But, of course, you'd have to contact the lockmaster and check on that. And they monitor Channel 14. So you can call them on VHF. And, once again, Fern might be able to give you some timely information on what the Kaskaskia lock is up to. Okay, the heading downriver, another popular anchorage for our loopers is the Little River Diversion Channel, or the Little Diversion Channel. That channel is part of a greater diversion project that drains some smaller rivers into a canal and dumps into the Mississippi. I have never personally been there, but I know it's popular. I don't believe it's available all the time, and Fern, believe it or not, has the information on that and just how accessible that may be at any given time, so she can help you with that. Past that, that's at mile 49, that little river diversion channel. Past that, really 49 miles later, you'll come to the Ohio River confluence, and that's your mile zero on the upper Mississippi River, and the lower Mississippi River is what you're into if you would continue downriver, but our loopers are going to turn left and go up the Ohio River. So I really don't have any more passage information past that myself. When I did the section between St. Louis and Green Turtle Bay, I trailered my boat because it was a 23-footer, and I trailered my boat between below St. Louis and to Green Turtle Bay and launched there. So I avoided that fuel problem altogether.
Well, that brings us to the end of our journey for the loopers. I want everyone to know, and it is under the resources page, free resources for everyone. Kitty has been nice enough to share all of this information. Besides giving mile by mile what to look for on the Illinois and the upper Mississippi, Kitty also gives phone numbers, so it's an invaluable tool. Kitty, I thank you so much for putting that together. It's really a great, great, great resource.
Well, I hope people can use it, and hope everyone stays safe out there.
Well, thank you so much, Kitty, again for being on our show this week. And stay in touch. And thanks for all you do. And maybe we'll see you when we get to Florida.
Great. It sounds good, Janice. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I guess that's it. Steve, do you have any comments for Kitty before we close?
No, I'm doing fine.
Okay, great. Kitty, stay well and safe cruising. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.